Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Celtic Now and for our podcast. Once again, my name is Ryan Clifford. Well, a bit of a different podcast this week. Obviously, Celtic fan and Jamie, who's a Man United fan. He's from the All United podcast from down south. Obviously, Jamie, glad to have you on, mate. How's things?
Yeah, I've been keeping all right, mate. How are you doing?
Yeah, not bad, mate. Obviously, your team's doing okay. My team's not done very well, so our podcast's been a bit different. But obviously, as I say, you're in the Man U podcast, and how's it been down there recently?
Yeah, it's all right, mate. Just keeping busy. I've been in the process of moving house, so I haven't been too active on the old football scene at the moment, but got everything sorted in now, and can obviously, you've been very patient with me. I know we've been chatting for a few weeks to do this together, so thanks for waiting for me and not moving on and leaving me in the cold. But yeah, all good. I got contacted earlier to say that I want to jump on tonight on a United show, but I've prioritised the hoops tonight, so you're stuck with me, unfortunately.
That's it, mate. I'm just glad to have you on. It's a bit of a different conversation. Obviously, as I say, you're a Man United fan, but how, obviously, if you're a bit of a soft spot for Celtic, as we spoke before you came on, how did your interest start actually getting to Celtic? Was it due to players, or was it due to family, or was it just actually your friends? Obviously, I know you've got a friend who's a Celtic fan, Lee. Was it kind of through him and just getting to know him and Celtic?
Yeah, he didn't ever shut up about them in school, mate, so I kind of had to start listening to him. He's one of my good pals, Lee Gribben, so he's always in my ear in science, giving it the chat about Celtic, and I'm a Man United fan, so I didn't listen to him for a few years, but then I had no choice but to start listening to him because he'd never shut up. So obviously, all seriousness, obviously, I liked individual players that Celtic have had down the years, particularly obviously Henrik Larsson being the one. But to be honest, it probably came from my dad. Like my dad's a big Man United fan, but he's also a Celtic fan. So my family are originally from Scotland. So my dad supports Scotland. I'm an England fan, which he resents, but it is what it is. I was born here, so get over it, Dad. But he's a big Celtic fan, and he always used to buy me the jerseys and that when I was younger, and always getting me out in the new kits and stuff like that. So I've kind of always been brought up with them, but I've always been predominantly more Man United based. But obviously from a little town called Corby in Northamptonshire. And it's a big Scottish community down there. There's a lot of the majority of the towns all Scottish coming down to work in the steelworks years ago, including my granny and granddad. So my dad sort of inherited the football inside of Scotland from his father, you know, and it's kind of just knocked on. So I haven't really known anything different bar Man United and Celtic. And once you growing up in Corby, as I say, it's predominantly all Scots, 85%. So you're either a blue or you're a green. And as I said to you in the start of the show, I fell on the right side of the fence with the hoops. So that was how it started, really. But I've always been predominantly sort of Man United. But I've got children's pictures and that with the hoop shirts on and stuff like that. I've got some in the wardrobe, and I was actually going to wear one, funnily enough, but in the wash. So dumb me, the missus didn't sort me out there, give me the shirt for the show. But that's how it started, really. And then obviously it progressed with Lee. Like Lee's been sort of going up the road every weekend in school. I remember him actually like missing school to go to Milan away and stuff like that. Just crazy stories. But I hope he's listening, because he's been a big influence on me with following Celtic, you know. And over the last few years, and obviously getting into this scene, I've kind of progressed that. But it's just funny thinking about, like, he just wouldn't turn up for school. And everyone was like, where's Lee? Like, his mum don't ever let him have time off. And he's like, Barcelona away. Ah, so he's in Spain at the moment. So it's all good cracking, good memories. But yeah, I think it was probably from my dad, and then it excelled with Lee, really. And he obviously had the season ticket. His brother and his old man had the season ticket. And once one of them didn't go, I got the opportunity to go. I think my first game was, you'd have to quote me, I could be wrong here, Lee. If I am, I apologise, mate. I think it was Aberdeen, I think, the first game, or Dundee, one of the two. Mm-hmm. One of the games was a stinker, but one of them was a 3-3 draw, or 4-3 win. I think Hesselink got the winner. And that was the first time I was in the jungle, so to speak. So it was just amazing. And ever since then, I've just had this aura on Celtic. I love the fans, I love the Green Brigade, all the singing, and it's just escalated from there. And I've kind of tried to take a more interested approach in the last, I don't know, five, 6 years on Celtic, and watch what they're doing. And if they're ever on, they're like the British teams are usually predominantly on Sky, you know, but if Celtic are playing, I'm on the couch, you know. So I'm looking to try and get back up the road when everything opens up. But obviously, with what's going on in the world in the moment, I don't know when that is. But just great to meet fans like yourself. I'm just as interested in your take on Celtic as you are with me. So it's great to be given the opportunity. And cheers for having me.
No, as I say, mate, it's my pleasure. Obviously, big Robert can't make it tonight. But Robert was really looking forward to listening as well, because he's intrigued, obviously, to find out about yourself, how you get into Celtic, obviously down south, what's happening down south. He's really interested in actually kind of what's been happening, kind of with the protest, but we'll speak about that later on in the podcast. But Robert was really interested in that, so I think eventually we'll get you back on, because I think Robert was really interested in getting to know about that, and obviously down south it's been happening. But as he says, most obviously in Glasgow, you're either green or blue. You might get an odd Partick Thistle fan here and there, Queen's Park, but it's always predominantly one of the either, and I think,
yeah,
as he says, Big Lee's got into the good side, the most successful side recently, anyway. So, but it's kind of, as you say, it's so basically you were basically told to support Celtic. There was no choice in the matter with Lee in your ear.
Pretty much, yeah. He's I'm gonna nag him to come on, because I generally think he'd be good crack for you on the channel, but he's a little bit shy sometimes, is Lee. So until it comes to birds, he's not so shy when he's had a drink in him. But he just always talked about Celtic, and we've all I've always been a big passionate football fan, and he's the same, as he's just as knowledgeable as me on football, and he loves football. He's like Celtic daft, man. And he was just sort of like always letting me know what's going on, letting me know what players is coming in. We still have like voice notes every second day, and he gives me the updates on what he's heard and stuff like that. And I just try and keep in the loop through him, really. But it was him that obviously set this up. But as I say, I'm going to have a word with him, because I think you should have some really good chatter. Do you know what I mean? Between you talking about the old Celtic days, the run up to the 9 titles that he's won recently and stuff, and your current situation, I reckon he would be able to give you some good dialogue, and especially being a like-minded fan, you'd have a good crack, you know. He's a spot-on kid, so I would definitely try and see if I can get him on here for you. But yeah, just him and my dad, I kind of didn't really know anything different. I had a United top on when I was a couple of days into my life. I think my dad bought me a baby grow that was Man United, and he's obviously installed the Celtic into me as well, and they're my teams, you know. I don't follow Celtic as closely as United, as I mentioned, but it's definitely in there. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've definitely got a little soft spot for them, and I've enjoyed the last 9 years, I'll not lie. So, but it's obviously a bit of a different scenario at the moment, but I'm sure we'll touch on this. I've showed you this beforehand, didn't I? But I keep looking at this now, and it's a bit depressing now. So, Lee gave me that as a gift, so I thought I'd give that a little show on there. But I keep looking at it and thinking, oh, that should have been 10, but never mind.
this is even with the wee stuck you've got to earn in a row, it's people even I don't know, but it's obviously we'll touch on it again, but for me, Celtic up here, obviously I don't know if you read the press up here, if you hear much about it up here, but I don't know if it's maybe because I'm biased, but I don't think Celtic have had the credit we deserve whatsoever up here. For what we've done. I know we've lost to 10.
Definitely not.
Might have lost to 10 and whatever else. I understand that. But since I've been alive, I'm nearly 28. Oh, I've seen success. I've had wee bits of bad times, but as I've got older, I've had basically 20 years. Celtic have basically been domination. I've had the odd league title here and there, Rangers, the odd cup, but the last 20 years, I think Celtic have won like 15 league titles or something. So
mad.
So I've seen a lot of success, and as Rangers this season have proved, yes, they've won the league, but they've been up the two cups when, let's be honest, the two cups were basically, they're no handed to them, but it was basically set in stone for them to get to the cup if they could get through the lesser teams, because obviously Celtic's not there. So it just proves how much winning leagues and doubles and trebles and quadruple trebles is so hard. It's very hard to even win a league title, never mind four trebles and 12 in a row. We've obviously won 9 in a row, and even I can remember, I don't know if you had a bit down south, Jamie, but the season Celtic, Brendan Rodgers and Rangers trying to come up that season, most of the pundits took Rangers to win the league that season, and I was like, you must be off your rocker. We signed Dembele, St. Clair, Rodgers came in and Rangers came up for the championship, and we're thinking, oh, they're going, they're back and this and that, they're saying Barton, they're saying Sendra or something. I did think they've got a decent team here. But when you get a guy like Cab or Brendan Rodgers came in, it was never going to happen. But I just think that me personally, the credit we deserve, we've had credit, but Rangers have won one league title and they're the best thing since sliced bread. And for me, yes, they've been unbeaten so far. They've won. Listen, I take my hat off, Rangers. We have been terrible. The league table doesn't lie. Well done, guys. Obviously, I'm not going to say well done. I'm not going to credit them, but you won the league fair and square. Like, the border, we've lost it, but it's been Rangers. We won. we went unbeaten. We've done well in the Champions League. We got to the group stages, had a decent campaign, and we didn't qualify further, but it was our first kind of qualifying in a long time, and Rangers have won the league this year. I've had four players up for player of the year. We won the treble, got to the Champions League and won an invincible season. And we didn't have that as up here. So you're thinking, what is going on? Obviously yourself, you know the media can be a bit here and there hearsay, but that's another day. But what's your take on obviously this season? And do you believe obviously they should be given a lot more credit than they have been? Obviously, we've failed this season, but for the last 9 years, doesn't matter who's playing in the league. If Rangers aren't playing the league, if Aberdeen have won you second, to win a league title and win trophies 9 years in a row, it's some feat.
Yeah, it cracks me up when you hear like the Rangers fans say, yous might have got to 9, but for, I don't know, keep us right here, maybe three or four of them seasons we wasn't in the league. That's not Celtic's problem. Like, do you know what I mean? From my point of view, as a, I wouldn't say I was quite a neutral, but it doesn't matter. It's not that's nothing to do with Celtic that yous went in the league. Yous went in the league because of financial troubles, and I'll not touch on that too much because I don't really know the ins and outs of it to go into it, but obviously your viewers and yourself will know the crack being from up there and following the situation and that. I know they didn't manage their money very well and it got them into a little bit of trouble and eventually killed them, but anyway, we'll forget about that because they'll just tell us otherwise anyway. So, but anyway, with regards to the views on the credit, with regards to what they've done, like it's amazing, like absolutely amazing. Like, how can you not give credit? Like, what that team under Brendan Rodgers and to a certain extent Neil Lennon when he was there his first period, and obviously last season he won the title as well, but obviously Ronnie Dyler was there as well. Like, they've all played their part, but like the Rodgers time was years what unplayable at times. Like I went to games with Lee under Rodgers, and some of the football was fantastic, and his recruitment was really good. He had all the right people in all the right places, which allowed him to take care of the on pitch, and he's probably one of the best managers in England, let alone Scotland. Do you know what I mean? So he was always going to be a great fit up there, and the way that it ended with Rodgers is a bit sad, really, because what he did do, I know he kind of hung his out to dry at the end, but he got offered that big job, and I think he just couldn't turn it down. But I'll not get into that because it's a bit of a spiky one with yours. I do get that. But what he done was absolutely fantastic. The football, the style of play, the recruitment, everything was just going in the right direction, and he was bringing players to the club that realistically shouldn't have been coming to the club. Like Scott Sinclair, for example, he talked him to coming up the road, Dembele for 500 grand. Like, do you know what I mean? It's just stupid, like, deals like that. And it just took us to another level. And then, obviously, Edouard come in. Nobody knew what he was going to be like. And then he just hit the ground running after a couple of months of settling in. And everything under Rodgers was absolutely, like, it just all went to plan. His plan for what he's seen a Celtic team on that pitch, and all the implements he needed to do on the back of that, with his staff and with his recruitment team, with his scouting department and everything, it just clicked, and then it all resonated to on the pitch, and then yous were just unplayable. I remember watching you sometimes, and you think, goodness, if Celtic don't score six here, I don't know how they're not going to score six. And the thing is, they warranted like winning 6 and 7 nils and that. Like, do you know what I mean? Their football was fantastic. The teams in the SPL just couldn't live with them. And that comes down to, in my opinion, and people might disagree with me, but it comes down to one, planning, preparation for the next season. Whereas I feel like, and I'm not going to give him too much credit, but I feel like that's kind of what Gerrard's done with them.
Yeah,
and I feel like I'll obviously touch on Celtic in a minute, but I feel like with Rodgers, he just had everything in his head, and it was just like implementing it and putting the right pieces in the right piece of the jigsaw, you know, and then it all comes down to the performances and the football, the aura around the club at the time. Like, everyone was buzzing to watch Celtic because it must have been a privilege in that ground, being a season ticket holder, watching that team play, because they were fantastic. And it's a shame now, because I feel like all that them foundations and that groundwork has just been forgotten about and neglected. It's like, the only way I can put it, and it might be a bit stupid, is like someone going out and cutting his grass every week and it looks great, and then the next door neighbours move in to the house and they just let it grow and keep growing and growing and growing till it's, and it must be a bit of a sort of lump in the throat that way for Celtic fans. Well, I mean, what's your take on, forget me for a minute, what's your view on sort of how the demise has sort of been so noticeable, really?
I think you've touched on, I totally agree with you. For me, obviously, when it happened, we were all a bit like, we kind of had there was whispers about going to Leicester for a few weeks, but we were like, surely no. I think it was January, I think it was February time we went, roughly. Surely no, you've put just about nearly the end of the season, surely not. But again, it happened and it's done, but obviously, you're a bit raging. Why would you leave? You're a so-called Celtic fan, this and that. You've signed a four-year deal, he signed. I'm sure he was the first manager to do that in a long time at Celtic, because Celtic would always roll on contracts, I'm sure. And I think they broke that and gave him a four-year deal. And obviously, he was paid him 40 grand a week at Celtic. So he was paid handsomely for a Celtic manager. But now I've had time to kind of step back and obviously, I've actually stopped playing football myself due to injury, so I'm watching football for a different aspect now. I'm looking at it from a coaching perspective, not just a fan, and I'm looking into games more and managers. And as he says, listen, he's one of the best managers in Europe, in my opinion, not just Scotland, England, in Europe. I think he's
brilliant. Yeah.
I think at Celtic, he was a bit ahead of his time when it came to Scottish football. You take a step back, obviously, we were all raging. Some fans will probably never forgive him. But don't want to say I forgave him, but I can understand why he went. Because obviously, unless they have a big, big bottle job, they might qualify for top four. They might get in Europe again, the group stages. So he's done a decent job at Leicester, because suddenly he's only, he's maybe spent a bit of money, but he's maybe only brought in four or five players. I don't think he's brought in a lot of players. Because there was two guys that he scouted for Celtic, but we couldn't afford, and Leicester signed them. The right back, I think, Castagna for Atlanta. I think we get a £10 million, £11 million bid rejected. Oh, that's what they wanted. And Leicester going for £20 million. So realistically, could we have picked? We probably couldn't have. And the guy Justin, I think, for Luton.
Yeah, good players.
So it shows you that maybe financially he was thinking, right, maybe I've took us as far as we can. Obviously, a lot of fans are going to think, no, he should have just stayed, blah, blah. But when I think back now and I look in hindsight and I look at what he's doing, I totally understand why he's went. Because he's, let's be honest, as much as Celtic, a massive club, it's a Premier League. And it's very hard for some managers not to go there. Because he's won the like Celtic. He's done okay in Europe, could have done a bit better. But it's done now, but my opinion is I can understand why I left. And for me now, it's done. I've said on Twitter, I hope he does do well. People say, why? I'm like, because he's a good manager. He's a top-door manager, and I want to see guys doing well. In the day, he'll always have a vicinity Celtic, no matter what people think him. And as he says, he built the foundations for the latter stages of going for 10 in a row.
I was
I was at a speaker's night. I think it was when Chris Commons, it was a season Chris Commons was there, and then he left. It was him and Alan Thomason, and Chris Commons was like, I was surprised if he's here for 10. And we were all like, what are you talking about? He went, he's just too good. He went, he's detailed. He says he's in there at 7, 6 in the morning, doesn't leave till 6, 7 at night. His training sessions are all planned out. And he says, I'm thinking that I could come in and manage Celtic, right, Commons? He says, and I see that guy, he says, I can't manage. He says, what that guy does in a training park and what he does after the park, he says, it's what a top manager is. So it just shows you what it takes to get to that level. But he left in a wee, he was thinking about 8 points ahead. Neil Lennon came in, and you're thinking, right, we've done the treble, we've done well. But a lot of Celtic fans were thinking, right, you've done your job, Neil, thanks. It's time to get a better manager in and move on.
Yeah.
And a lot is, we're kind of, we won the treble, we're thinking, right, brilliant. And then Neil was announced, we're thinking, oh, right. It did take a bit of shine off it. Some fans are like, maybe like we've said, are pro-Ollie, and they're not Ollie. Some are up here, some are pro-Len, and some are like, no. He's manager at Hibs. He didn't do too well near the end of his stint. No, so, but only this season, I agree with you. I don't think we planned for this season properly.
No.
Hindsight, I was a big believer. We won the league. I'm a big believer if what's happening in the world didn't happen, Gerrard would get sacked. That's my personal opinion. I think the fans...
I think you're probably right.
Fans were calling for Tavernier's head. We're calling for Morelos to be sold. We're not good enough for this and that. I think we were 13 points roughly. Don't quote me on it. Some fans might quote me in the live stream, but we were roughly at least double figures ahead, and it could have went to 15, 18, 20 because we were playing really, really good football. And then obviously COVID stuck, and then Scott Brown again. I've given a bit of drip to Scott Brown, but I've kind of looked back now, and the guy had 3 or 4 months off, and at 34 years old, it's very hard to get back into next season and play your strongest by having that layoff at that age. People will say, I mean, excuses, but no, that is just football these days. These players need to be always on the move. We signed £15 million worth of players. We kept our key players like Ncham, Ayer, Edouard. You're thinking, right, all systems go. But for me, when it went out to October time, I'm thinking something's not right here. Neil Lennon's come out saying the players don't know why to be here, and I'm thinking, what is happening? And obviously, we missed out some transfer targets this summer. So it was, but I don't, as you say, we don't want to touch about too much about it, but what's your opinions on, obviously, your personal opinion about this season, and obviously, what's the mummers down south, what's been happening down south to the Are they thinking they can't believe it's happened, or are they thinking it was maybe due to happen?
Yeah, it's a bit of a different viewpoint for it, because I actually obviously I'm originally from down south, but I live in Newcastle, so I ain't too far away from Scotland. So we kind of get quite a lot of the media chatter from up the road, sort of down this way. With regards to this season, I just think as a fan base, you have just been shafted. Like, absolutely. That's the only word I can describe it. Like, the preparation, the planning, everything you need to be a successful team on the green pitch is just falling apart. Like, the recruitment's been absolutely abysmal in the past couple of years. They've got far too many transfers wrong. They've been spending big money on, I'll touch on individual players in a minute and let you know what I think, but as I mentioned earlier, I'm not a Celtic fan, so people might disagree with me. I'm just saying it as I see it, really, from watching Celtic play. But I don't think I'll be too far off, because, I mean, they haven't been great this year. But I just think from the top, Desmond, Peter Lowell, they've just shafted the fans. Like, it's just like the biggest season. I don't know if it's bigger than when you won the European Cup, don't get me wrong, but this 10 in a row, and you've been singing this for years. You know what I mean? I've sang it at grounds. I was at Sunderland with Lee, and I was singing 10 in a row. You know what I mean? So we were standing on the chairs in Sunderland, giving it the big licks, singing 10 in a row to the players when they just won about 6-1 or something like that. But I've done it. Do you know what I mean? And it was all geared up to this season. And as soon as I heard... And Lee, you'll have to ask Lee if he comes on here, because he'll quote me. I said to him, "You have made a massive mistake giving Lennon that job." And he was like, "Nah, Rangers are behind us." And I was like, "Nah, they're not that far behind, mate. Like, if they haven't bucked your ideas up and get working in this market." And then there was no transfers, and I was like, what the hell is going on? And then you see El Yunusi come back, who I actually think is a decent player. I think he's been a pretty decent player for Celtic. He's been a bit hit and miss this year, but so's the whole team. You know what I mean? So maybe he's a bit hard done by, but there is a player there. You don't sign for Southampton for the money they paid for him if you can't play football. So... I was quite surprised that they got him back on loan, because I thought he was going to be a one-season wonder. He come to Celtic, just won the league. I thought he'd go back to Southampton and be given another go, you know, but he ended up back up, and I thought, that's a good signing. And then they obviously put all their eggs in the Foster basket. It didn't come off. And then Craig Gordon walked out on a free going back to Hearts. And I'm sitting here, and as I say that, ain't even as passionate towards the team as yous, and sort of in the know as all yous, and I'm like, wait a minute. So they're not getting Foster, who's had the absolute blinder of a season, completely out of the loop at Southampton, not involved at all. McCarthy and Gunn at the time were playing ahead of him. And I thought, well, so that's an easy transfer to do. Surely the fans up there love him. He's had a cracking season, the big one, 10 in a row. He'll fancy it. And then that didn't come off, and Gordon left. And then I was like, right, so they need a goalkeeper, because Scott Bain's a decent goalkeeper, but he's not a number one. Like, not for Celtic, he's not. He's a number one for Aberdeen or something, but not Celtic. And then that doesn't come off. The goalkeeper situation's a mess, and then they go and pay £5 million for Barkas, who, to be honest with you, I'd never heard of him. And £5 million for Celtic, you're like, they wouldn't have paid that for him if he's not a decent keeper. And mind my language, but he's shite. You know what I mean? He's absolutely shite. I do think there's a goalkeeper there, but he just can't deal with the pressure, particularly of 10 in a row. And to be honest with you, I don't know what your take's on it, so come back at me with it, but... I feel like some of them players have just crumbled under the pressure of 10 in a row. Like, they've just not been able, like, forget what Rangers have done. Like, you can only concentrate on your own game.
Yeah.
And I've played football at a decent level, mate. Do you know what I mean? I'm an assistant manager now for an under-11s team. I like to think I know a bit about football. Do you know what I mean? And I just the whole planning and preparation. But the thing is, it's not just from this summer. It's been like three summers in a row. Yeah, I mean, you look at the strikers that they've brought in. Ajeti, in my opinion, he's not good enough. He looked like a half decent player at West Ham, but he's got time at Celtic. I think he could potentially become a good player without the pressure on him. Paddy, Klamala, like they went to Poland and thought they were getting another Zarowski. Like, he's just not, is he? Like, so he. But the thing is, he's not been given the games either. Like, he scored loads of goals in Poland, but all of a sudden he's not good enough to play in Scotland. And I'm like, how are you going to find out if this boy's good enough and that goal record does stand up if you're not playing him? But the whole dimensions of the team is based around winning 10 with keeping Odson. He didn't want to be there this season. You can tell by his body language. I mean, his goal return isn't bad, but he should score goals in that team. Like, do you know what I mean? He's got creative players all around him. Even if they haven't played well, you've still got Christie, who's been way off this season. You've got McGregor. You've got people like the boy Turnbull, who's been a breath of fresh air since he's came in. You've got Mikey Johnson. I know he's been injured in Forest. Rogic, to a certain extent. You've got creative players in there, so you should be scoring goals in that team anyway.
Yeah.
So his goal record, for me, it doesn't necessarily tell the bigger picture, because he looks like a player that's he's already moved. And I do think he'll go, and I'm sure you do. But if you'd have cashed in on him last season when he made it clear that he didn't want to stay and got bigger money for him instead of dragging his contract out, and now he's worth a third of the price that you could have got for him last season, invested it in a player that probably wasn't the same standard as Edouard, but was hungry. He was like, I'm going to Celtic, man. Celtic have come in for me, and it's, what, 10 in a row? Two, right? I want to be their number nine next year. Let's get stuck into Rangers and get this 10 in a row. I'll go down as a hero for life. You know what I mean? And I just feel like the foundations, and I listen to a lot of Celtic podcasts. I actually listen to more Celtic podcasts than I do Man United, funnily enough, but it's because I'm involved with the United ones that I'm usually on them.
Yeah.
So it's a case of it's a funny one, because everyone always talks about this season, oh, the recruitment's not being bad, Hammond's got it wrong, and I'm like, yeah, but the recruitment hasn't been good for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Like, and bad recruitment window after window after window leads up to a team like this. Mm-hmm. And whether you like it or not, people probably won't like me saying this, but Rangers have brought in very good players for the level of the league, like Celtic done under Rodgers with like go for it. I was just touching on the recruitment side of this season for Celtic. They've just got it wrong, you know. Bad recruitment makes bad teams, but it's all well and good looking at the recruitment for this season that's not been right, but it hasn't been right for 3 years now. So I think it's an accumulation of bad signings that's put a bad team on the pitch, and I don't particularly think it's a bad team. They've just maybe not coped with the pressure of the 10. Mm-hmm. But once you start signing bad players consistently, you get a bad team. And when you're in a financial position like Celtic, when a Bayer Leverkusen comes in for your young Dutch superstar, do you know what I mean? And he goes for 13 million, which is pennies in comparison to the Premier League. But in Scotland, I appreciate it's big money, do you know what I mean? And he brings in Gonjo Kenny, who I actually thought would do quite well, played a lot of games in the Bundesliga. And I don't know what your take on him is, but he just looks awful. He doesn't know how to pass forward, you know? So
on the recruitment side, I would say Ajeti, I like him. I think I'm not saying he's as good as Hooper. But he reminds me of Hooper. He starts on. He's, for me, I think if you get two flying wingers and you buzz into the box, I think you score your goals. As you mentioned, he scored goals for Basel in the Champions League, the league in Basel's. It's okay. It's, the standard's not the best, but as you say as well, and you don't get a move to West Ham in the Premier League and they don't pay £10 million, whatever it is for you, if you're not too good. You must be, you must have something about you. So for me, I would give you yet another season under a better manager, maybe. Kamara, obviously, again, game time. I played football to a decent level myself. If you're not playing football, it's all right keeping fit, but if you're no match fit and you're no match sharp scoring goals, it's very hard to show yourself and express yourself. If you're only getting half an hour here and there or one start here and there, it's very hard to get a run of games. And I played up front myself, so you need to, when I played up front, if I was playing and then I was playing, of course you're going to be rusty and no fully fit and you're going to be... You're, because you're not playing every week, you're not going to be in sync with the rest of the team. It takes games. Barca, for me, I'm willing to give another season as well. But again, see the people or fans might not agree with me, like you says, but the pressure I attend was massive, but the pressure next season for me is even bigger because we need to win the league next season to get in the group stages for the Champions League. They're guaranteed £25-30 million, whatever it is. It's a massive season. If we don't win the league next season, it's going to put us 2 years back behind because Rangers will have the financial gain. Obviously, we'll still have financial gain money-wise, but they're going to have £30 million guaranteed. Plus, if they sell two or three big players again. So, the recruitment's been, like you say, Rodgers, some of his recruitment was very, very good and the players they signed, the main players had an impact, like you're saying, Sinclair's, they came in and guys like that. And Kolo Touré was a bit of experience to start off with, obviously, faded, but he started off really well. And they got the best out of, I want to say, average players, but players who weren't playing very well. And he came in and he got them for, they just took to a different level. And I think we're a better manager. I think it'll be the same with the players we've got here. Because as you see, I don't think we've got bad players. I just think we've got bad. I think we've got players that have been coached wrong, and they've not been managed properly. And I think we've seen that from the get go. Like you say, Edward, it was always rumored he was going to leave in the summer. He didn't go. We kept him, and obviously his body language, as he says. But I'm a big believer. He's still the best player in Scotland. Rangers fans will say Ryan Kent. For me, Ryan Kent's though nowhere near consistent enough for me when it comes to the price tag they pay for him. For me, £9 million for Edouard was an absolute bargain. Absolute bargain at the time, I'm thinking £9 million. Well, that is a bit steep for a young striker, but the guy for me is just going to move on to bigger and better things. I'm not saying Celtic are not a big club because they're an absolute massive, massive club at every level.
Yeah.
But if you go to Man United or your Arsenals or your Leons, they are, in European terms, are bigger because they can qualify for these big tournaments and they can get noticed better and he might enhance his level because he's maybe getting coached better. But listen, if it is Eddie Howe, we'll touch on Eddie Howe. If he comes in, this guy might stay because he might go, this guy might take me to a better level. But it's been very frustrating for us as fans and me personally because I was giving it tens of certainty, tell my pals, use our shite, use our this, use our that, Gerrard should be sacked. And I do agree with you in a sense where Rangers, I want to say, obviously you're looking for an outset, you've obviously seen bits and bobs, but I think they've signed players that suit their system, and their system suits the players, and they've just came together and it's knitted to them. And listen, fair play to them, they've won the league, and we've signed players that don't suit the system. They might be good players, but I think they've just went, right, they're good players, we'll throw them in. Because Elan Ussi,
I totally agree with you.
Rate Elan Ussi. But for a few months I was getting him jumping Twitter, Elan Ussi, fuck off, not that right. But see the men I look at stuff and I don't be in the moment and I don't tweet stuff stupidly. When I look at him, he's been a bit of a scapegoat in a way. I'm being honest, I don't really know what he is. Is he a number 10? Is he a winger? But that's due to the manager to figure that out. And in the day, that's why you sign players, because you should know where they play. And I do agree with you.
He's
a player. There's a player in there. And as he says, when he played against us for Mulder, he ripped us apart. In Europe, ripped us apart. And we were all saying, we should get that boy. and then now he's signed on loan for 2 years. Nah, I don't bring him back. No, wait a minute. He's got something. You don't, as you say, you don't sign for Southampton in the big league if you're not got something about you. So for me,
I think they pay like 17 million for
a lot of money.
It was around that. It's probably, don't quote me on that figure, but it was around that sort of. You've seen the boy live, obviously not this season, but I haven't seen him play live. I haven't been up the road for a few seasons now, but I think he's an inside forward. I think he comes in from that left wing and he kind of plays as a second striker, but from a wide position. But the problem is he doesn't have any competition, you know, like. And I think Celtic have always had that in their squads. You look at like when Petrov and Lennon and players like that, they always had them other players coming through that could come in for a smaller game at Ross County or a Dundee United or something, and they could rotate that team. Whereas I don't really see that with Celtic at the moment. They've got a big squad, but a bit of lack of quality or players that have ran their race. And I always feel like it's a dangerous game to keep a squad together for too long because it gets stale, you know? And the problem is Celtic have been going out in the market and buying particularly the centre-forward roles. For me, and as I say, people might disagree with me. And to be honest, I kind of hope they do because I like the back and forth, like that people don't have the same opinion as me. That's why I come on these things. Mm-hmm. But I think Griffiths should have been gone a few seasons ago. Like, he doesn't look fit. He doesn't look motivated. I get there's a player there, but his head's in the capital, like not in Glasgow. You know, he wants to go back to Hibs, so I'm hearing. But if that's the case, like, let him go. Like, Celtic are bigger than a player. Mm-hmm. You know, so like you said, Celtic are a massive club. Particularly in Scotland, they're a huge, ginormous club. But in Europe, they're a huge club as well. And you can't have passengers if you try to win titles and that. You've got to have players that are on board, and they're going into the market and signing Klamala, and I get they had success with Zarowski from Poland, and they bought Boric as well, so that is a market they are quite fond of, the Polish market, if they can bring a player in from there. But if you're not giving the boy game time, he can't score goals. It doesn't matter how good his goal-scoring record was in Poland. It doesn't mean nothing in Glasgow if you're not playing him. I don't personally think he's good enough. From what I've seen of him, I don't think he's at that level. But it ain't about having players that are all starters. You need like squad players as well. And that's the naive side of fans, that they think everybody needs to be a starting 11 player. It's not the way football works no more. You have to be in the market for good squad players sometimes as well. And you look at Bayo, he was brought in with a massive goal scoring record out on loan at Toulouse in Liga 2 in France. He's another one, but Celtic are like paying money for these players, and they're like coming in for a season, they're being judged in 6 months, they're going out on loan and they're leaving, like Klamala, he's on his way to New York in the MLS. So it's all a mess with the recruitment, and that does need looked at. And I feel like, touched on Eddie Howe earlier, I think, personally, in my opinion, and I could be wrong here, but I'll put my head above the parapet with this one and say I do think he's going to be the manager, because of all the shows that I do listen to that are Scottish football-based or Celtic-based in particular, they don't seem to be getting linked with anybody else. I know you said at the start of the show they were linked with the boy from Man City, the reserve manager that works under Pep. He was sort of had a bit of noise around him. And then you got the silly ones like Jose and Rafa Benitez. They're never going to happen for the wages that Celtic can offer. I wouldn't say the club isn't big enough to attract a manager like a Rafa Benitez, but they don't have the funds to pay for his wages. That's the biggest issue. And Mourinho's Mourinho. He ain't going to work without a checkbook, and Celtic are in a different planet of where Mourinho's been before with regards to finances, availability of finances. And I think that was half of his problem at Man U and at Tottenham recently, that he didn't get backed and didn't get the players that he wanted. But that's a whole nother story for another podcast, Jose. But it's just bad recruitment, bad planning. I just I just think they massively took their eye off of Rangers about three seasons ago. And because they were still winning titles, they thought, we can... I think they've sat in the boardroom and thought, do you know what? We'll give as much funds as we can afford without sort of putting ourselves out of pocket. And the thing is, this should have been the season where they went and give the manager 25, 30 million to say, go and get that 10th title. Finish them off in the history books, because this will never happen again. Like, it ain't happening again, 9 titles in a row. It just isn't. I don't think it is. Maybe I'll be wrong. But I think now you and Rangers are going to fight for the title, and it might be you win 1 year, or they win the next. Who knows? Hopefully they don't win any after this one, because they don't shut up about this one and they ain't even got the title in their hands yet. Mm-hmm. So, but it's just a categoric failure by the board for the fan base, and I can imagine yous are infuriated, because the biggest season arguably in the club's history would go as, they'd all be immortal, the squad. They'd have all been getting statues outside of Parkhead for getting this 10th title, and now it's just fallen flat on its face. And it's not fallen on its face by 4 or 5 points. I mean, he's like 20 odd points behind. I mean, what's going on? Like, do you know what I mean? And then they're on about, I mean, the recruitment side of things we've touched on already, but like the players like Laxalt, players like John Joe Kenny that are on loan and that, they're all going. So there's 4 players there already. Mm-hmm. Bruni's obviously away to Aberdeen, which I think is a good move for him, because I feel like he probably should have went to Australia and got a big payday last summer, and he stayed for one more season. I think it was one season too many, to be honest, but you've got to respect him for what he's done. He's been absolutely phenomenal, and he's been a joy to watch as a neutral. So I can imagine what he's been like for you boys, especially his celebration with El Hajj Diouf. I'll never forget that until the day I die. But it must be a really bitter pill to swallow for Celtic. It's like getting to the promised land and seeing that golden gate, and then all of a sudden, like, someone just doesn't allow you to go through the doors, and it's just a categoric error after error after error in the market. And because they've been winning titles, they've thought, it's all right. Like, we're still winning leagues, and we're sort of penny pinching here. And they penny pinched in the biggest season of the club's recent history, and it's come back to bite them on the arse by their rivals. And you can't help feel for fans, because we can't do nothing about it, but you've just got to accept that they're the better team. And now there's a massive, massive rebuild on the hands of whoever comes in, and it's a massive job. And to be honest with you, and this is just my take, and I hope I'm wrong, I don't think they'll win the title next year, Celtic. I think this rebuild's going to be that big and that in-depth that it's going to take time.
I totally agree with you when it comes to the money side. See, when Rangers went down to the third division, we should have been neighbour near Rangers, as it is now. We should have but fall out and go. I know we get Rodgers after the semi-final defeat, but as soon as Rangers went down, we should have started building and building and building and building, because at that time we were qualified for Europe. And like you say, see, the last few years, we've sold, I think, is it £80 million worth of transfers, I think, in the last 4 or 5 years or something, right? So, see, realistically, Dermot Desmond and Peter Lowell haven't really had any money in their own pockets. They've had a big, big shirt sales with with sponsorships with Daffabet, Adidas, New Balance, season tickets have been sold out for the last, how many times in the last few seasons? We've sold a lot of players for big money. Tierney, the Frimpong, Kamara's just sold. So the clubs are always having money in and out. So I totally agree with the fans. Are really, if you don't want to start ranting, raving, and swearing, but frustrated is a word I could use. Aye, we're very frustrated. Because we all know that, obviously, you're looking for outset, but to my opinion, I still believe we've still got a better squad. I just think we've underperformed massively. It's been a massive, massive, massive free-for-all. And Rangers have got a team which, as I say, they've signed players for that team. And Gerrard's a figurehead, but I think Michael Beale does a lot of stuff. I think Gerrard, maybe because he's the figurehead, he takes the praise. But I think it's Michael Beale that does a lot of the work. And obviously, he's regarded as a top coach. which is I can respect top coaches. So I think, listen, it's been very hard for us to watch, as you say, and the recruitment's been very, very poor, but we've got away with it, as you say, we have. And but the fans, a lot of the media up here have says, where's this came from? The fans have been shouting about it for 4 or 5 years. Stop sleeping at the wheel. Posters everywhere, Barnett. So it's not like the fans are knowing it's coming. So the last bit of that, it's been very, very, very frustrating. I'm kind of the opposite of you. If I think that if it is Eddie Howe, I generally think you'll come in Transformers. I think it might take 2 or 3 windows. But I think if Eddie Howe comes in, I think in the league, I don't want to come out and say it's a certainty because nothing's a certainty in life now after 10 in a row. But I think if he comes in with his team and he gets his stall set out within a few months, I think it will be interesting. I'm very excited if it is Eddie Howe because I think the brand of football, football that he plays is very, very exciting. Yes, we might lose 2 goals, but see if we're scoring 4 and 5 every week, I couldn't care. As long as we're winning football, winning trophies and getting decent results in Europe, then I'm happy to see 2 goals a game as long as you're winning football games. And seeing a brand of football that we were, you don't want to say used to seeing, because we only had 2 years at Rodgers. With Dyla, it was okay the first season and it kind of whimpered with Lennon, it was the same. Strachan, it was here and there. So last bit on it, it's very frustrating. And I just hope whoever comes in, obviously Eddie Howe, what's the kind of brand of football you've seen him play? Obviously, you've seen him play his teams down south. What's the kind of vibes down south with Eddie Howe coming to Celtic? Has there been much about it? And the papers are obviously people you talk to and your chat and stuff, anything about Eddie Howe, kind of thinking, he'd be a good fit for Celtic?
Yeah, I was listening to a general football podcast yesterday, funnily enough, and they were sort of touting him maybe for the Crystal Palace job if Hodgson seems like he's been managing forever, like he's about 100 years old, isn't he? And he still keeps churning out team after team, you've got to admire him, but I feel like Crystal Palace ain't that much of a bigger upgrade on Bournemouth. Like, they're never going to win anything there. And you, from a manager that's kind of, I wouldn't say lost his way, he probably lost his hunger at Bournemouth, to be honest. I don't think he was ready for a championship season, and he done the right thing in my eyes and put the club first and says, I need a little bit of a sabbatical here and to sort of regroup and maybe spend a bit of time with the family and regroup to then go back into football. And then once your phone goes and it's Celtic, I mean, like for a manager that sort of walked out on a lower league Premier League team that he got relegated, and like, let's not forget they weren't very good that season, they were awful. So it's but I've seen enough of him. And he fits the criteria of, if I was Desmond, I would be looking at a manager like him, because the fans clearly don't have got upheaval with the board, and rightfully so because of the stuff we've touched on earlier on in the show. And I feel like bringing someone in that does have a philosophy, does have a style of play, does have a certain player he will be in the market for. And let's be brutally honest here. The reason why Celtic was so successful under Rodgers, because one, he was a fantastic manager, but two, he set the system out and he didn't change it, and he brought the players to play the system.
Yep.
And that's why they were so good. And I think you've hit the nail on the head with Rangers. They're a team designed by Gerrard. The Kamaras, the Davies, they're all the players that he wants to play that game. And then he's got the creativity aspects of your Kents and your whoever else Morelos is. I don't really know their full squad, to be honest with you, but your Taverniers, your players like that, the young boy Patterson that they're all raving about, they're all in that mind frame of, we're in this together and we fight for each other. And when we're out of possession, we try and win the ball back collectively, and we win and lose collectively. And I just don't see that at Celtic. But the thing is, What style of, if I was to say to you, what style of football did Lennon play? I don't know what style of football he played. Do you know what I mean? He was very much built, from what I've seen, he was built on his game, tough in the tackle, nice and rigid, hard to break down. And then it just completely went to pot. And I was just watching Celtic and thinking, I don't know what he's trying to achieve here. And then you put on top of that, the game plan didn't suit the players. I mean, Celtic have got some really good footballing players in their team. Rodgick, your Christie, your McGregor's, your wingers. He's got good wingers at the club. El Yunusi, we touched on earlier. Forrest has been very consistent for years at Celtic. I know he's a bit hit and miss with fans, and I'm not a big lover of Forrest, I'll be honest with you. But he's got like Mikey Johnson, the young boy Dembele. Like, there's creativity in that team. Like, why are they not creating chances? Well, they are creating chances, they're just not finishing them. But, and then he's trying to put them in a rigid formation. And I'm just like, you're trying to tell Christopher Ayer to play a rigid formation? Like, you're joking. He's a ball playing defensive midfielder / centre back, you know? So, and then he brings Turnbull in, another good footballing player. So it's like you've said earlier, and you've been absolutely bang on with it. Like, the platform is there for a manager that's coming in to play that progressive style of ball possession football with maybe a high press, a gegenpress type style of play in a 4-3-3. And how is that guy? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He comes in and he goes, right, all right, so they've told me there's a mass exodus here, but you know what, Christy? I like the way you play. See you and Turnbull and McGregor and Rodgick to a certain extent. Like, you can fit my system nicely. I'll put a little sorrow just at the back of yous two, and yous go create chances. We'll get them wingers nice and wide like he did at Bournemouth. I'll bring a clinical goal scorer in like he had at Bournemouth with Callum Wilson. And then the whole picture turns. And as long as next season, I feel, and you might disagree with me, but as long as the Celtic fans see some sort of bigger picture and progression, if you don't win the title, of course you'll be disappointed. But if there's a bigger picture to think, if I sat on here in a year's time and Eddie Howe's had a great season and you've been playing great football like he did under Rodgers, the recruitment's been good, he's bought players to play the system, he's improved players that are already at the team that are probably not playing well at the moment, you're going to probably sit here and say to me, do you know what, Jamie, we've not won the league, which is a bit disappointing, mate, but I can see the bigger vision. And I feel like that's it for Celtic. And I do think he's going to get the job. I think he's nailed on to get the job, and he just wants his staff. And there's a bit of an issue because Bournemouth, I think they're in the playoffs at the moment, aren't they? So, but he will come in and he will implement his style on that team. And I think the Celtic fans will love him. I listened to a radio show earlier today, and a fan was saying if they don't go for Howe, they would like to see Jack Ross brought in. And I was just a bit like, how can you take such a dip?
No.
You know, I've seen quite a lot of him up here, living in Newcastle. He was down the road at Sunderland, and he done okay there. He didn't get as much praise as he should have because they made a big, massive documentary and didn't get promoted and it went pear-shaped. But I think he done all right at Sunderland. I think he is doing well at Hibs. He's recruited well, but he's not a Celtic manager. Not yet, anyway. And you can't take that dip from an Eddie Howe to somebody that's managing Hibs now. I don't know if there's any good up-and-coming managers in Scotland. The St Johnston manager's apparently a quite good young manager, isn't he? Davison or something like that. But Celtic need to get it right. You can't get this one wrong at Celtic. It's like you say, I feel like this season's probably bigger than this season now, like next season. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting one. I'm just as fixated with it as you. Honestly, I've been Celtic daft on my phone for weeks and weeks now, trying to get some sort of inkling as to what's going on. And I presume you would have got the statement. I obviously didn't receive it because I'm not a season ticket holder, but from what I heard in it, it didn't really fill you with much as to what the bigger picture was.
I'm kind of relaxed about the situation because the rumours is that Howe's still getting paid by Bournemouth to the start of June, right? That's just what I've been told and what I've seen. So they obviously can't. If that is the case, then Celtic can't come out and say anything because if they do, they might need to pay compensation. So I can gauge by what they're saying we're trying to complete a manager and the staff. They're basically trying to say, we want to tell you, but we can't. And I generally think that sometimes fans, listen, I've said my hangs on the board, have been silent this and that before, says it, but sometimes when you take away from heat in the moment, you need to sit back and think, right, they must be walking on something. You don't just sit and don't say anything, because I personally think the board know what they've done this season. I think that Desmond, as me and Robert have been talking about for a long time the last few weeks, they owe us big time. And I think that they're trying to get, if it is Eddie Howe, it seems going to be the best manager can, and they want to get it right because they know they've balled up and they need to fix it, and they need to fix it soon. I know they could have fixed it in January, they could have fixed it in November, but I think, like maybe me, I was thinking, right, no, it'll come. It didn't come. But I do believe that, I think there's something, there must be something signed, because there's rumours about players coming, players leaving, and that doesn't happen if somebody, obviously behind the scenes, some of these guys have still got to do their daily jobs. Like the recruitment staff who's there, we've not got a chief scout, but there's still guys at the club who look at players, and obviously Kennedy's still the figurehead at the moment, so Lawwell's still there, so there's still work going on behind the scenes, and I generally believe that there's somebody signed, because it's too close to the season, too close to qualifiers coming up for something not to be in place, especially a club and an establishment like Celtic, an institution like Celtic. Something can't be, if there's nobody in place, then it's a massive, massive, massive fuck up, in my opinion. But on the season as a whole, it's been very poor, and I think he's got to put his hand in his pocket now. And if it is Eddie Howe, a wad of money, if it is £20 million, I'd go, right, you go, Eddie, fire away, do what you want. Matt, old man, that's what I said, what you says. He says, Ryan, I would take maybe another 2 years of hurt for another 5, 6, 7, 8 years success, as long as I can see something's improving. And I think fans, obviously you want to win the league and you want to qualify for Europe and you want to win doubles and trebles, which is hard to do. But if you can see improvement and you can see a plan of action and you can see a platform of what, if it is how what he's trying to build, then you can write, okay, we'll maybe take a season and maybe another failure. But after that, we need to see progression. And I think under Lennon, we've seen a tiny bit of progression and then it's just went right back down the hall again. And I think that, as you say, with the stats that we've got to be aiming better. And I think Howe is, obviously, for me, I spoke about Eddie Howe in October, November on this podcast. I've just not spoken about him for the last few weeks. I've spoken in depth about how he's obsessed with winning. He's obsessed about his family life is a back step, but football is his only fucking and he's a project manager. So from my onset, that's not just a season, it's not a 2 season. He's here for the long term, and I don't think he'd be signing here for a season, because as he says, he went out a bit of a whimper at Bournemouth, and he's kind of in a Rodgers mode where he's maybe coming to get his stock back up again, because he was on because he was on Sky a few times, and sometimes you go on Sky to get noticed, to say I'm still here, I can still talk the game. Maybe like Roy Keane's back on the telly now. Is he trying to get a job, or is he just trying to be a good pundit? Do you know what I mean? So, but obviously, but listen, I love Roy Keane. I love Roy Keane.
So, I absolutely adore him.
Is there any players at Celtic? Obviously, for me, Edouard's probably maybe the only, I'm going to say he's the only one, but he's a top one that you think, I'm not saying he can play for Man United. I'm just saying, do you think any player could play down south for maybe a top 6 or top 18?
I think Edouard, if we signed Edouard as a squad player, from a Man United point of view, I'd take him. He's young, he's got ability, he can find the net. Like I wouldn't be against that signing, and it wouldn't surprise me if he did end up in the Premier League. I could see Edouard's signing for Arsenal or Leicester, or Aston Villa have been linked with him. They're a half decent team. Give Ollie Watkins a little bit of they're lacking a little bit of firepower. We obviously beat them today and they were 1-0 up, but they're a good squad. You put Edouard in that team, he improves the majority of the fringe top 8, top 10 Premier League teams. He'd probably be a squad player at Tottenham. You might even get a starting spot at Arsenal. I mean, they're in capitulation. Their squad's gonna deteriorate in the summer. I can see the big players, Aubameyang, Lacazette. They're all sort of being touted with moves now. And it's funny because they give Ozil loads of money, and he decided to stop playing football. And they done it with Aubameyang, and he's done the same. So they need to learn their lessons. And I feel like in this current climate and market of what's going on in the world with COVID and that, clubs have got to be more efficient in the transfer market now, and they are going to be looking at the likes of the SPL to maybe pluck a couple of decent players and that. I mean, there's some really good quality young players in Scotland. I really like the boy Nisbet at Hibs. I think he's quite a good little player, you know. They've got another, is it Doyne? Plays for them as well. Decent little player.
But it's
such a big, like going into that top eight, it's a difficult one. I mean, I quite like Christopher Ayer, but I don't think he's a top eight player. Mm-hmm. I think he'd be a good signing for a Newcastle, like someone like that. I think he's got a good reputation in Scotland because he's probably a little bit better than the level up there. But I don't think he's a top eight player. But off the top of my head, I quite liked Frimpong, to be honest with you. I don't think he's a top eight Premier League player, but he was exciting to watch. That was another intelligent move for Celtic when they were making good moves. Do you know what I mean? Like plucking players from Man City's academy. I'd probably go with you, mate, and say probably only Edouard could probably play in the top eight. Maybe McGregor if he's on it. I think he's a really good creative midfielder. I don't think he will leave Celtic, to be honest with you. I think he will stay. He's probably one of very few that probably will stay with the bigger reputations. I think Christie will be away. I can see Christie maybe doing well at a Leeds, someone like that. He was obviously linked with Leeds in January. That's why I've kind of plucked that one. But he's not a top eight player for me. I'm trying to think of the current team and if I think Edouard's probably the only one, mate, to be honest. That's where Celtic are at the moment, that they don't have.
I agree with you. When it comes to, I do think, I'm a big believer in Edouard's. I think Edouard's top draw. A lot of people up here say that he's no doubt. I was criticising him against the Rangers game, against the Scottish Cup game, and they missed a few sitters. But again, we all don't know the ins and outs of why players don't perform. And we had with an ex-youth player, Sam, on a few months ago, and he was saying, Ryan, he says, fans need to understand that sometimes what you have in your outside life, your family life, and he says, see, if you have an argument with your missus that one morning, that could affect your performance. But fans don't see that. He says people need to realise that stuff can happen outside of football. He says, see, if you don't prepare properly and you don't have everything right that week to the game, he says, your performance can drip. It does mean you're a bad player. He says, some people just don't play well for months and then they might move and go. He says, it's all about after park as well. You need to be on after park as well as on the park. And I do agree that way, but obviously Edouard and COVID and other stuff have happened this season. A lot happens this season that's, I think, they could have went wrong as a fucking wet man, can it? I think he's brilliant. I think I don't want to stick my neck out and say that he would play every week in a top 14, but I generally do think he could be in the top four squad on the bench, coming off and playing 20 minutes. Definitely. Maybe for talk's sake, like you're saying, see that Mason Greenwood can't play. I like to think Edouard could step in, play with Fernandez and the type of guys, because he would get chances. I'm not saying he's up to that level. I'm just saying that he could get to that level. That's just my personal opinion. People might think like you, people might think, Ryan, you're talking one lot of rubbish. But I think the guy's got a lot of potential. And if he's coached a better manager, like De Bailly, obviously Rodgers was superb, right? But De Bailly's where to lay on. He's took his level to Spain now, and he's doing okay in Madrid. So it shows you what Celtic had with De Bailly and look what he's doing. fans were saying Dembele wasn't worth 20 million, he wasn't as good as Morelos. Away, man, he was light years ahead of Morelos. He still is. £20 million in my opinion was daylight robbery. The same for Tierney. £25 million was an absolute. At the time he was injured, you're thinking, right, we've done okay. But you're thinking back now, but maybe between him and Luke Shaw, he's probably up there with one of the best left backs in that league. I think Luke Shaw's took his game to a new level. I don't watch Man United as much as you, but we'll touch on that in a minute. But for me, Edouard, I think I agree with you. I think he's all going to go to better things. And obviously yourself, Jamie, obviously United's your kind of main team. How's it been this season? Obviously, you're probably going to finish second, in my opinion. I think it's a good season for you because obviously Man City's maybe just a step too high this season. They've done well. Even though they've not really had a striker all season, but they've had all their top players have played well. And obviously, Ollie's had a few criticism, as you say, pro Ollie, no pro Ollie. You've got Fernandes, who's come in and been world class. I really like him. I'm not saying he would maybe move to a better club, but I think he's got the potential to go to maybe a Barcelona or something because I think he's really, really good. But I think Man United are maybe only. I think only with two or three players, I think maybe your defence to maybe get to your level again. I think it's only a few more players. And I'm only talking for what I see, because obviously I don't see every game like you do. I only see what's on telly. I think even your squad players, is Mata still there? Mata's still there, isn't he?
Yeah, he's not playing a lot.
Like your Matic's, how Chelsea let him go to you was unbelievable, because that guy, I think on his day is phenomenal. He just controls the midfield, he just does the basics. And again, I'm just seeing what I see. I don't see every week, but for what I see, when he comes in, like you say, you need players to come on and step in, and I think he does that very, very well. How's it been for yourself? What's the fans' vibe, and do you think Ole can take you to the next level?
It's been a funny season, really, because we've kind of been doing really well under the radar, because Liverpool have just completely fallen apart. I have to say that quietly because my missus is on the other side of this door and she's a Liverpool fan. So unfortunately, there's Liverpool shirts hanging around this house, which I don't really like, but I'll not touch into that because she'll not speak to me after this. but we've kind of been doing all right, but for me, I think there's been bad performances from other teams like Tottenham, for example. Yeah. Liverpool have obviously completely crumbled when the big Dutchman got injured. The whole season just capitulated because of one player, apparently. But we've kind of improved on last season, like in a league position. But for me, it was going that next level in them cup competitions, because we're not naive enough as a fan base. I mean, some of us are, but not me, to think that we were going to win the league this year. When we were top of the league, I was tweeting about it like we had just won the league, but I knew it wasn't going to last. Like, I was actually on podcasts on All For United on the Weekly Armchair kickoff. I was on there saying, look, enjoy this while it lasts, because it's not going to last. And I was getting pelters, man, from fans saying, why are you being so negative? Like, I thought you supported United. Are you a secret Newcastle fan or something like this? And I'm like, what is on about? Like, I'm telling you, it's not going to last because we're not consistent enough.
That should just be realistic.
Yeah. Well, it was. And I turned out to be right, unfortunately. I wish I was wrong and I was celebrating a title now, but it's not to be. But we're not a title-winning team yet, but the Europa League was a big one, because obviously we got to the semi-final last year. I thought we'd coast past Seville and we lost. So this game just gone, the Roma game, was just unbelievable. I didn't understand what I was watching, to be honest. I thought it was a few years ago when we beat them 7-2. But we just completely annihilated them. And that's the frustrating thing from a Man United fan's point of view, that we're capable of that. That Greenwood's, Pogba's, the Fernandes, Rashford, Martial, Cavani, who's just gone on to another level. I mean, he's got 7 goals in 6 games now. 7-7 now, actually. Come on today, and nodded the third, and I unfortunately cashed out when it was 2-1 for a couple of quid less than I could have got, and Cavani nodded the header 1 minute after, which is just my my luck. But I've had a right little winner on the boxing and the football this weekend, so I can't grumble too much. But just typical, when I cashed out, Cavani goes and nods the third goal in for us. But I feel like he's starting to get a lot of things right at the club. I don't particularly think he's the best manager tactically, I'll be honest. Yeah. And I'm quite vocal about that. I'll criticise him when he gets it wrong, and I'll give him praise when he gets it right. I'm kind of not Ollie in, but I'm not Ollie out either. I'm kind of in the middle. I'm Man United first and manager second kind of thing. But it's a weird one, because I feel like our season's kind of... We're in the Europa League final now. We know we're going to be playing that in Poland. It's all about winning that trophy for me. And the way I see it is, like, I've had a bit of banter from some of my mates, and they're like, yeah, you might win a trophy, but it's the Europa League. It's not the Premier League. And I'm like...
That's still a massive trophy. Yeah. See, Celtic won that. I've been around about the street naked, steaming at my lap. It's a massive trophy.
Seville.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's what I mean. It's like, I'm just like, at the end of the day, the way I see it is black and white football, you know? And only two teams in Europe win trophies in a European campaign. And yep. We might be one of them this year. So if it's the Europa League, or obviously everybody wants to win the Champions League, but at the moment we ain't a Champions League winning team.
Yeah.
So we've went in the Europa League. We've had a pretty tough draw, I think, getting through. We've had some tough games, and we've got to the final. And I kind of did want a British final, because I think it would have been a bit of a more spicier affair against Arsenal. But
not easier.
To be honest with you, I'm quite glad. I'm quite glad we got Villarreal, because Arsenal won a one-off game. Mm-hmm. They can beat you. I mean, they beat us this season and we battered them. They beat us 1-0 with a penalty. So it's harder to take if you get beat by Arsenal instead of getting beat by Villarreal. But I feel like we'll have too much for Villarreal anyway. But it's been a successful season. I'm seeing progression. The Pogba issue is a bit of a worrying situation for Man United fans, kind of the same as Edouard. Your hands are tied behind your back with what you do. And the thing is, Celtic might take 10, 12 million for Edouard, whereas United won't take less than like 80, 90 million for Pogba. And how do you get that money from a player that's 1 year of his contract? And I personally think he'll see it out. I think he'll be here next year and he's going to go for free, which I don't really like from a fan point of view, business-wise, from football. And I know fans don't really look at that, but I do tend to look at that as well. It's been a good season, but it's all about winning that trophy now. The Premier League doesn't really matter. We're going to get in the top four. And I'm one of them fans, I'll be honest with you, that we could finish second, we could finish fourth. It isn't first. So they're all getting the same. It doesn't really matter where you finish. You're getting in the Champions League. Mm. It's obviously better to be known as the second best country and team in the country, but I want to be the first best. So it doesn't really mean nothing to me, that top four race. I don't buy into it, to be honest with you. But as a whole, good season. I'm seeing a lot of progression with regards to some of the football we're playing. I mean, we play some great stuff against Villa today. Scored 3 goals. We're starting to put chances away and look like a really good attacking team. But I think you hit the nail on the head. I think we're a couple of players away, 2 or 3 players away. There's a lot of rumours in our fan base at the moment, and I've got some good connections that the Sancho deal is back on the table, and they're talking to Dortmund about getting him across. So I'd love to see him on our right wing. But you never know with Man United. I think they're more cagey with transfers than Celtic are. You know what I mean? And you never know until the player's holding the shirt up who's coming in the door. And it's a difficult one, but it's sort of speculation central in Man U's fan base. And I'm presuming it's the same for you being based in Glasgow. Like, you'll hear a million names, but you'll only get 2 or 3 of them. And it's like, who do you believe? So I'm luckily enough, obviously you're involved with the Celtic community, but I've got some really good friends in some really big platforms in the Man United fan base, and I do hear quite a lot of concrete good stuff, and some of it's generally came off in the past year or so that I've heard, particularly the Fernandez one. I was told that he was signing 2 weeks before he signed, and then he did sign. So it's a case of I've got a couple of, I wouldn't say they were in the knows. I just think they kind of know people close to the club. And because we're on the fan channel scene, you'll know it's a very small community and you meet quite a lot of like-minded people. So it's good. But yeah, I'm chuffed with it, mate, to be honest with you. I know this is predominantly a Celtic channel, but I appreciate you having a bit of United crack in that. But yeah, I feel like if we can win a trophy, have a big summer, who knows?
And obviously you touched on Cavani. I love Cavani. I think he's, how PSG let him go, I thought was absolutely criminal. Considering it was a free transfer. Obviously Cavani's quads in and your Bosman fee, but I always remember, Celtic fans will remember obviously we beat 5-0 at home in the Champions League when it absolutely destroyed us. We had Rabiot and Verratti absolutely bossed us in the middle of the park. But for me, when I played up front, just looking at Cavani for an individual performance, I know we get beaten, you want to see Celtic win, but you don't mind paying your £40 to see the players. That's why you want to be there, to see the players at Celtic Park.
I know.
And Cavani's movement that day and his finishing, honestly, it was an absolute joy to watch. And I put my Twitter the other day and last week as well when he played. If you're a young forward and you want to look at strikers or you want to play football up front and you want to know movement and how to finish, go on YouTube and type in Edinson Cavani. He's just an absolute model professional, especially he's 33, 34, roughly.
I think he's, he's
32, 33, right. And he's still, for my opinion, he's still at the top of his game. He might only play half an hour, or he might play 60 minutes off the bench, half an hour off the bench, but it's just, he's honestly, it was an absolute joy to watch, and I actually watched the game last night, the highlights last night, with the Celtic game last night, because I put a tweet about it, I said, I need to watch that back, and his header was unbelievable, and I can remember in the game, I'm thinking, no way he's just scored that, why did we not save that? But then when you watch it back, what a header it was, and see his movement was, he was in, he was out. So, some fans might say, why are you congratulating an opposite position, but See a player like that at Celtic Park, you're thinking, wow. I think Edouard's brilliant, right? And I thought Scott Brown's a very good player. I'm thinking, guys, look, back then Sinclair was top draw. And then you see these guys come to Celtic Park, you're thinking, fucking hell, man, we've got average players here. We've not got top players. We've got average players. They're top players in our league and our level. But when you look at these guys and how good they are, and obviously you've seen them firsthand live every week in the moment, for a wee bit, just touch on him because for me, Jamie, he's phenomenal. And I think Man United have got a real, real step on him getting for a free transfer.
Yeah, it's funny you brought Cavani up because I told some of the boys that I do the chats with that I was coming on here tonight. So I don't know if some of them will watch this back, but I've got a bit of a Cavani agenda going. I like to spread his propaganda. You'll probably see on my Twitter, I absolutely love him. And even when he wasn't playing well, I was always saying, we're Cavani FC. Like, forget Bruno FC, we're Cavani FC. And he's just, I call him Tarzan, you know? Like, so that's my nickname for him, Tarzan. But his movement, do you know what impresses me the most about him? Like, everybody knows Cavani's a good striker. He scores goals, his movement. See, his work rate.
Yeah.
Like, he comes back and defends, like, he'll make a tackle in Bissaka's position. I'm like, what's he doing at right back, man? Like, and then he was right back up the park, like, joining in with the attack, and I'm like, this guy's 33 years old, man. And he had a bit of a rough patch at United. He wasn't playing. I listened to a good interview, because he was initially going to Benfica.
All right.
And one of my good childhood friends, one of my best mates from back home, he's from Portugal. He's a Benfica fan. So I've sort of grown up watching sort of Celtic with Lee and Benfica with my friend Rogério. So watch a lot of Portuguese football. I probably watch just as much Portuguese football as I do Celtic, to be honest with you. I quite like the league. I'm quite knowledgeable on it. And he was like adamant he was going there, and he wanted 9 million. Benfica offered him 7 annually. And so my mate rang me and he was like, he's a money grabber, man. Like, he's not coming to Benfica. He just wants money, and that his career's over. And I was like, I was like, ah, but gutted for you and that. It would have been good seeing Cavani playing for Benfica and that. And he was like, nah, he's a money grabber. We don't need him, man. And I was like, right, okay. And then like a week later, he's signing for United. And he rings me up and he's like, oh, he's a money grabber, man. Honestly, he's going to do nothing for you. In my head, I'm like, because my mate's quite knowledgeable on footy, you know. And I was like, bloody hell, man. Like he was telling me about Drogba before he went to Chelsea sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? His football knowledge is pretty, very, very good. Like, and I was like, maybe he's got it right with Cavani, man. Maybe he's just after a pound note sort of thing. And I thought, nah, he's been at the top clubs, man. He can't be short of a pound note. Like, it's not a retirement home move for him. And then I listened to a journalist that had watched him in Ligue 1, and he said, like, if you think Cavani's coming to sit on the bench at Man United and count his wages on the side of the pitch, you've got another thing coming. Like, he's far too professional for that. And I was like, that's a positive interview. And then it's coming to fruition. Like, he's took a little bit of time. He was going for a bit of a goal drought. Martial was playing ahead of him, not playing very well, but consistently getting picked. He's a bit of a pain in the arse to us fans. He's a bit lazy at times, but the ability is there. Cavani, and I thought, well, Ollie's obviously going for a sort of more pacey attack. Mm-hmm. And Cavani came on and against Everton and completely changed the game. And we were all like, as a fan base, we were like, why is this guy not playing, man? It's Edison Cavani. Like, get him in the pit on the pitch. You know what I mean? What a scene at Old Trafford. And gradually he's just got better. But when he went for his drought, he was linked with a big move to Boca Juniors.
I've seen that.
So a lot of United fans were saying he isn't going to stay. And it, like, up until probably a week or 2 weeks ago, everyone thought he was going to leave. So I put a tweet out a couple of weeks ago on Twitter saying, I've come to terms that Cavani's going to leave now, and I'm just going to enjoy him while he's here. It was like when we had Larsson on loan as well. Yeah. It was the same. Like, you could tell he was just world class, but you knew he was never staying. Mm-hmm. And he was going back to Helsingborg, which I kind of wish he would have stayed for another season. And so does he, because I watched the documentary about it. But it's one of them where he's just everything you thought, what you thought you were getting with him, it's coming to fruition now, and apparently he's got a good relationship with Solskjaer, and he's staying now. So fantastic news. You need world class players in your team, and they don't come any better than him. He's played at the top level in Europe since he was young. So and his work rate is absolutely phenomenal. Honestly, if you watch Man United consistently, he's unreal. Like, it's absolutely unbelievable. But he's just got it. He's that Larsson. He's that Ibrahimovic who I've seen at Man United as well. Like, they've just got it. They're just that good, you know? Like, I mean, the Larsson you've seen, that he must have been a privilege to watch. You know what I mean? Because when we got him, his career was on the downward slope, but he was shit hot when he came to Man U. I remember I said to Lee, I ain't too keen on this Larsson signing, man. Like, Barca let him go. He went back to play in Sweden, and all of a sudden he's coming on loan to play for us. And he was absolutely class against Villa in the FA Cup, the first game that he played for us. And I was like, bloody hell, Lee, you're right, man. This guy's a genius. And obviously I knew how good he was at Celtic, but he was in his prime. So, but when he's another throwback player, like Cavani's, he's just got that I don't even know how to describe it, just that clinical footballing brain, and he just knows how to move off the ball. He creates space, he drags defenders out, he's just class. And he's another one of them, the Henri's, the Bergkamps, the Larsson's, they've just got it, and he's one of them.
He's always moving on he's always moving for the ball, he's always moving for a pass. And I agree with you that some of these players have just got a gift. Larsson's, your Ibrahimovic's, your Cavani's, they've just got it, and for Bournemouth, they've just got that knack of scoring goals. And as you say, for us, listen, I don't want to sit here and talk about Larsson, because I could sit here all day and talk about the guy. He was my hero, obviously, a lot of Celtic fans. It was just, honestly, the guy was just, that's what you pay your £30 for. £600 a year for your season. But that's what you pay to watch the guys, and you don't mind paying whatever it is, £100. I wouldn't mind paying £100 to go see Cavani playing every week. Because the guy's phenomenal.
Yeah.
It must be a brilliant for you to watch him. And obviously the last bit, Jamie, I want to touch on obviously is the recent protests and the Super Leagues. What's the feeling obviously down there? Because obviously we've had some protests up here when obviously we beat off Ross County and the wanting Len to go. And obviously it was nothing like the protests down south. I think some fans would I don't agree with some of the protests that we've done up here, but again, we're all got different opinions, and that's why we love football, because it's opinionated. If we really wanted our voice to be heard, Celtic fans should have probably just done that. But if we'd done that, the media up here and the government would have had a field day up here. If they gave me any mission to give us this and give us shit, and fans can't be trusted, fans can't do this, it'd have been more parliament stuff, and we don't want to get involved in that again. So what's your feeling down south? Do you think that's the last of the protests, or do you think there's maybe stuff that could happen again?
Nah, it's not the last. It definitely won't be the last. They crossed the line this time, mate. They've took the piss for 16 years, mate. And obviously, I know there's political sort of sides of the Celtic fan base as well with the banners upside down and stuff like that. I mean, I generally thought they done that by accident. You'll have to ask Lee about that one as well. The Green Brigade were holding a sign up that was obviously to the board. They were holding it upside down. And I said to Lee, like, they do realise they've got that flag upside down, don't they? And they were like, yeah, it's supposed to be that. And I was like, I don't, obviously touching on the protests, I don't think it isn't going to be the last one. And I know that because I'm kind of in that little circle of the fan channels. It definitely isn't going to be the last one. And I feel like they've just overstepped the mark. They've come in 16 years ago, promised this, promised that. And I'm not going to sit here and say they haven't backed us financially. They have. And we've done exactly the same as what yous are facing, bad recruitment, bringing in bad players that don't fit systems. And you know what happens with that? Exactly what's going on with Celtic at the moment, bad recruitment, bad team. But when you try and come into a club with the whole ideology of using it to make money, you've got the average man on the street. Me and you both love our teams individually. They're a massive part. I mean, Man United's my life. You know what I mean? Apart from my family and my girlfriend, that's all I've got is that team. Do you know what I mean? And they just buy a club on debt. I think we still owe £600 million of the 850-odd million that they took on as a debt. In 16 years, they've took £1 billion out the club. Like, when we needed a centre-back last summer, they took £70 million of dividends out the club. Like, that would have bought us a centre-back. Do you know what I mean? And we're not getting back what we're getting rid of. We've had a net spend for the past three seasons of £35 million at Manchester United. Do you know what I mean? That's the sort of money Celtic should be signing players with, not Man United. No disrespect, you know.
No, it's true, but it's true. And
if you want to be this big club and you want to be in the best tournaments and you want the best names on the back of the shirts to sell in the megastore, you're going to have to pay for them.
Yep.
And I mean, I could talk all night about what they've done wrong, but it's unsustainable taking that amount of money out of a team. Mm-hmm. And Man City's owners have ploughed £1 billion in since they've took over. And look at the difference. Training grounds, youth academies, squads on the pitch. You know, they bought four fullbacks for £50 million each. You know what I mean? It's nothing to them. And it's like, we want to see the same. We don't want to be going like Liverpool did for 30-odd years without a title. You know what I mean? So and it's like 11 years now, you know, so it's crazy. But like winning the Europa League's great in that, but we want to be the best team in the country, just like what yous have been doing, you know. You want to get back to the top of the ladder, so do we. And to get themselves into a position where they're trying to go into this Super League, which is just, I don't even want to get into it because it makes me angry, but with the whole project of just making money, you know, it just didn't give a shit about the history of the fans, the Fergusons, the Busby Babes, the players that died for the club. You know what I mean?
It's poor. I think it's the same up here, but it's very. We couldn't believe it either. Obviously we are. Yeah. Obviously, there was rumours about the Mass and Celtic Rangers. I can't see that happening, but we were like, get that to out of here. Not a chance. Yeah. Some fans are like, I'll get us this and that. I'm like, no, we're a Scottish club. I want to stay here. Obviously, I was talking about it's going down south before and all that, but
yeah.
I don't want that. We're a Scottish club. We stay in Scotland and we try and do a bit in Europe. Obviously, income's a different thing. If it's money, then we might go and get money. But for me, I'm like you. I found it very, very poor.
Yeah. It was really hard, to be honest with you. It, like, from a fan's point of view, and it involved in like the podcasting scene in United, it was difficult. Like, nobody wanted to go on shows because it was heartbreaking what was happening. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You're watching Sky Sports News, and these owners were just trying to sabotage your whole club. Mm-hmm. Like, everything that you stand for and you love and you adore. Them players and that red kit, and it didn't matter. Like, it was just like, yeah, congratulations, yeah, you won the Champions League, three times. You've been to these finals. You've done this. You've done that. You've won 20 Premier League titles. Yeah, we don't care about that. We just want to make money. And it's just like they were willing to just forget Manchester United and just use it as a money making machine. And the hard thing for us was, our owners were the ones that were leading it. So, like, do you know what I mean? They were the ones that come up with the idea of making this Super League with Real Madrid's president. And on the letter, on all the club's official websites, the Tottenham's, the Liverpool's, the City's, it was Joel Glazer, the guy that owns us. So I was embarrassed. Honestly, I said to Lee, he'll tell you, I voice noted him. I said, if they go in this competition and they go out of the FA Cup and the League Cup, and they don't play in our traditional tournaments to play in this stupid cup, I would have been one looking for a season ticket at where yous are. I would have supported Celtic, mate. I would have followed Celtic because it wouldn't have been there no more.
Yeah,
like, that's not my club. It's like us saying to you, like me saying to you, it's all right, Ryan. We'll just take you out of the Scottish Cups and that. I don't worry about it. I'll give you a few quid. You can go and play Real Madrid on a Tuesday night. The reason why the Champions League is so exciting is because them games don't happen all the time.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And they just had absolutely no care in the world. And to be honest with you, it's past 10 o'clock, so I'm assuming I'll be all right swearing now, but they didn't give a fuck about our club. You know what I mean? And this is why they're feeling the backlash now. And I've never, ever seen the United fans so determined. I mean, some of my friends from the fan channels were at the protests. And to be honest with you, and I'll be honest, COVID or not, I would have been there, Ryan, if I wasn't in Newcastle, mate. See, if it wasn't COVID and that, I would have been there as well with my green and gold scarf on, with my pyro, and I'd be singing the songs with them. I actually had some live videos that my friends were like FaceTiming me when it was all going on. The songs, man, like, you know, but it's not nice. It's just, it's like someone taking your heart out, you know, and stamping on it and saying, do you know what? I don't really care that you need that heart. I don't give a shit. So I think it's going to get worse, mate, to be honest with you. But I don't care how bad it gets. Like, for me, I didn't care that the game got called off against Liverpool. Yeah. I knew that was happening. And the sole intention was to get that game called off because people don't understand that. They just jumped on the bandwagon of, oh, Man United fans are hooligans and that. Yeah, call us whatever you want. But at the end of the day, the people in China and Japan and South Africa, Brazil, Argentina, they're all getting up to watch Man U Liverpool. And all of a sudden, the game's not on.
Yeah.
Why is it not on? Because the owners have absolutely sabotaged the club and the fans have had enough.
Mm-hmm.
And they locked the players in the Lowry, which I do feel for the players, but that was what the banner was about. You play when we want you to play.
Yeah.
You know? We love the club. They have no feeling for the club apart from making a few quid.
Yeah.
And it's like someone clipping your mum in front of you. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like someone hitting your mum in front of you. What are you going to do? Just stand there. Of course you're not. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's the same thing that a football club goes deep with fans, especially from your fan base. I mean, you are fanatical fans, you know, and it's the same with us. I love my team just as much as you love yours, you know. I'm passionate about them, and to see them just ready to run my team through the mud. Like, our fan base ain't having it no more, and we're going to do everything we possibly can to put heat on them and put enough heat on that media outlets around the world. I mean, I've seen stuff on Twitter, like the Argentinian, like it was on the Argentinian news about stuff like that, what was going on and stuff like that. And it's like, that's great, because now other fans will probably look at it and think, nah, do you know what? They're not thugs. They're not hooligans. They're standing up for what they believe in. Like, and I see some stuff on Twitter from Liverpool fans and Arsenal fans saying we went too far in that. And I'm like, wait a minute. Yes, we're all applauding that we all stuck together and got this Super League taken down. But when we carry on protesting about the guy that tried to set the Super League up, all of a sudden now we're thugs. Yeah. It doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So I thought Jamie Carragher was a breath of fresh air about it. Like, don't have a go at the Man United fans. Have a look at the owners, what they're doing. You know, look at the facts and figures and then go from there. But it's not nice, mate. And we'll see what happens in the future.
So, I've known that situation, so I've not got a lot to say on it, but I do think that yous will get it to no happen. I think fan power, in the day, fans pay the money, fans, if this thing is going to happen, if fans don't pay the money, fans don't go, there's going to be no tournament. So, the fans, people say fans are the biggest voice in football. It's the same as up here, when Celtic fans, they chat and they talk and they put banners out, eventually they get listened to. So I generally think that he's well get listened to. And I think by the sounds of it, he's a very, 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 very passionate to get it stopped. And I think he's well. Because I think I agree with you about Neville and Carrigan. But other pundits and media outlets have said they've been spot on. And I think they've backed you to the hole. And I think they'll continue to back you to the hole. Because owners shouldn't be thinking about money. They should be thinking about, obviously, they want to make money. There's making money, and then there's totally taking over the club. There's making money, a few quid here and there. To obviously owners don't take care of clubs for the sake. You want to make some sort of revenue with it, but you want it's not a hobby. It's a job. At the end of the day, it's a job. It's your job to take care of the club and make sure the club's run well, and make sure the club's run well as they go into the Super League. That's making more money for you, and that's why the fans are so fucking pissed off.
Ryan, it's like, it's the little things you probably wouldn't even realise with, obviously not supporting Man United, but like Old Trafford's rusty as out, mate. Like, the ground looks beautiful from the outside with the glass and the shiny statues and that, but you get inside it, there's holes in the roofs and everything, mate. They're not looking after the club, do you know what I mean? And it's their responsibility. They own it. It's like if your boiler goes in your house, you don't just leave it, do you?
No, you fix it.
You know what I mean? You fix it. You get a hole in your roof, you get someone out to fix it, and then they're not interested. So I could do a whole show with you, mate, about what they've done wrong, but I don't want to bore the listeners because this is a Celtic channel. So, but it's a mess, mate, and it isn't nice to have to protest about something, but when it's something that's so close to your heart, protest as much as you need to, man, you know? Like, it's a difficult one, mate. Real difficult one. It's like someone just saying to you, do you know what? Do you know Parkhead? Them all great European nights we've had there, the Barcelona wins, the Tony Watt goals and that. We're just going to leave it, mate. We're going to move grounds. We're going to build a new Parkhead. There'd be riots, man.
I know.
Like,
it's football's just totally changing, in my opinion, for the wrong. It's been we've talked enough about other stuff in football, but I won't touch on VAR because for me it's a disgrace. It's a boot to football. Football's changing for the worse. I think it's only going to get worse. But Jamie, I really appreciate your time, mate. It's been good to know about Man United, but I don't know about Man United, so it's good to get your opinions on obviously Celtic and your knowledge about football in general. And again, Jamie, I hope to have you on again soon. And obviously, take care, mate. Keep well, and I'll see you again, mate. Cheers.
Yeah, not a problem at all, mate. Thank you very much for having me. Been good to catch up.
Cheers, mate. Take care.
And you, buddy.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. To fly.